We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're going to get to Sal in a moment. In the press box, the media have been allowed to go to home games. They're not traveling to road games, but they are going to home games and then, you know, doing the whole Zoom call thing. And Sal is with the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, and he's joining us right now. Sal, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
How are you guys doing today?
3-0, Sal. I mean, come on. Sal, here's the thing. So I was going to give you a chance, and I promise you'll get a chance to publicize your latest book about Buffalo sports memories. You're going to have to add another chapter about the year the Bills found an NFL offense again.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that has been fun because we've all watched, you know, some really, really bad, boring, ugly offense for a long time. And this has just been a revelation to watch this team play. I mean, Allen's been... he's been so much fun to watch. And, you know, Howard, you and I, you know, Jeremy's a little younger. You and I lived through the Kelly era, and that was so much fun, yeah. Right? I mean, those games, every week you'd go to that stadium, and you just never quite knew what you were going to see. I mean, that team had a Hall of Famers. But this team, the way they play offense, I dare to say, you guys, they might be more exciting than that team was. Yeah. Just the way they play and how diverse they are, and it really is fun. And Allen is, he is worth every bit of the admission price if fans could be there.
You know, we've talked a lot about he was trending in the right direction, Sal, and people are saying, well, the Diggs trade is going to help, and if he steps up in year three, I don't know that anybody, though, would have predicted. I mean, nobody would have predicted what he's done the first three games.
No. I mean, look, we all were thinking, hey, just take the step, right? The one step is what we were looking for after he took a step last year, but I don't think you're right. I think everybody thought, look, I thought he would be better. I did not think he would become, you know, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league through the first 3 weeks of the season. And we all knew, I mean, he has that type of skill set. He has that talent in him, but he's just had to battle so many things, you know, probably from high school all the way through to college and into his first 2 years in the NFL, the accuracy issues and all that. But, you know, it's really impressive that whatever he did in the offseason, it clearly worked because he is a different quarterback this year.
If there's one either stat line or one particular part of his game in the first three games that to you stands out the most, what would you point to?
Well, to me, it isn't even about the numbers. What I look at on the three games that he's played, what I am just amazed by in each of the three games is how poised and how much in command he seems of this offense. He looks like a guy. I mean, we see Aaron Rodgers play, right? And that guy, he's got that offense, you know, in the back of it, in the back of his mind, like it's photocopied. He does anything he could possibly want to do, and it's automatic to him. And it just seems like Josh Allen, I'm not going to go that far and compare him to Aaron Rodgers, but he seems almost that comfortable in what Daboll was asking him to do. I mean, he's gone to the line of scrimmage. He seems to be recognizing what's in front of him now. I think last year he was guessing and hoping that his physical talent would make the play work. This year, I think he seems to have an answer for everything these first three teams have thrown at him. And, you know, then you combine that with his physical talent, and this is the result, you know, 1,038 passing yards in 3 weeks.
If you look, I mean, the Diggs impact obviously is big here, Sal. But so if you can comment on how much that has been a part of what we've seen in the first three games, and to a lesser extent, I mean, he's not Stephon Diggs, but to a lesser extent, early in the season, rookie receiver Gabriel Davis is contributing, and he looks good too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The weapons that they have, it's startling. Like I said, you go back to the Kelly days when he had so many guys across the board that he could deliver the ball to, and they were all great players. And the Stephon Diggs trade is looking like, you know, again, it's three games in, so I'm not going to go crazy yet, but it's clear to me that, you know, that first-round pick they gave up, sayonara, pal. This is your first-round pick, and you've got him signed for 4 years, and he's already a ready-made star the minute he steps on the field. He opens up everything. I mean, it was obvious, you know, every time that Diggs runs a route, he draws some type of attention, and that opens it up for the other guys like Beasley, Brown, Singletary, Knox, and those guys can play. So if they're going to be open, they're going to make a play, and he's helped a lot with getting those guys open.
Sal Majorana with us from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Sal, in the last segment, Jerry and I were talking about the story that the county is going to push the state to try and let some fans back into the game against Kansas City, maybe 10%, maybe 7,000 fans. You've been at the home games. You're in the press box. It's not open air. It's glass and closed. But, of course, you can still hear the noise. You can get a feel for the crowd in the building. What has it been like? I know Sean McDermott was asked about this yesterday. What's it been like, the whole no fans thing in the first two games from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's been surreal, quite honestly. You drive up to the stadium on a Sunday afternoon. Well, first of all, me driving down the thruway and having no traffic, getting off the exit there and just driving right up to the stadium is a little bit bizarre. But, yeah, when you're in the stadium, it's actually kind of depressing because, you know, there's nobody there. They're not even doing much. I don't know. I think the TV sounds way better than it sounds in the stadium. And as far as the crowd noise, they're doing I thought like the baseball. I covered the Blue Jays first game.
Yep.
And so I was in the ballpark and I thought baseball did a great job. Like if a guy made a great play or hit a home run, they press the button and you get that big cheer.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, guys, now we're in that press box, you know, you really can't hear anything, but to my knowledge, they're not doing that at the Bills games. Like the winning touchdown last week, you heard the players celebrating. There was no big crowd cheer from the fake crowd noise. And to me, that's, I don't know, I would have done that if I was the NFL. I would have, you know, at least pumped that in. But it has been a very weird situation. And I'll tell you what, last week, that was sad. Because can you imagine if they had 70,000 people in the building for that game, how fun that would have been for people?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, we'll all take a division title and a really successful season no matter what. But through the offseason, you couldn't help but think as the pandemic was going on and everything was pointing to no fans or limited fans at the stadium and around the league, you couldn't help but think, like, this team is the most fun Bills team to want to be there in person and watch in forever. And ironically or sadly, whatever, that might not be the case. Speaking of irony, I did want to also ask you about, you have an article up at the Rochester DNC site. So you haven't had to write this. Hey, the offense is stupendous. What's up with the defense? Like, this team has completely flipped its identity from recent years.
Yeah, it's been a bad couple weeks, and it really is surprising because, you know, they bring back, you know, all but, what, two starters last year. I guess three if you counted Lorenzo, but, you know, Lorenzo wasn't, you know, he was a part-time player, kind of a half-snaps kind of guy. And then we thought they replaced, you know, Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips with upgrades. Plus, they drafted Epinesa. You thought this defense actually had better pieces this year than it did last year when it was a really good defense. I don't know. I mean, Fitzpatrick, we all know that Fitzy kind of gets it up for the Bills. He likes playing against the Bills, and he's the kind of guy that if he gets hot, you know, he's dangerous. And then this week, look, the Rams are a really good team. I was surprised that the defense gave up 29 in a row, but I was not surprised that the Rams, you know, did score some points and gain some yards. But the way it went down was certainly alarming. That should never happen, especially to this Bills defense. So I think they're good enough, Howard, that they will get it figured out. I think they've just run into a couple weeks. And we've seen this with McDermott defenses in the past. They go through these, you know, two or three weeks periods in the season where they're awful, and then they just pick it right back up and they're great. So I would expect that's going to turn around here pretty soon.
The other thing I want to ask you about, and Sean McDermott's not listening, because if he is, he'd be really upset at this question. Sal, which game are you thinking about the most? I bet a lot of Bills fans watched Monday Night Football last night. Sure, it was a great matchup, but you wanted to see Kansas City because you know the Bills are going to play them. Everybody's thinking about New England. Look what Cam's doing. That game's not till November 1st. Of course, the Raiders game is next on the schedule. Is there a game that you think about a lot? Is it the next one, or is there one down the road that you really can't wait to see how the Bills stack up in this game?
Yeah, you know, I am pretty boring when it comes to that. I'm kind of McDermott-like, like just let's play this game and move on. But I will say, look, obviously Kansas City, you watched that game last night, and they're incredible. I even tweeted last night, Andy Reid's playbook must read like War and Peace. I mean, every time they go to the line, they're doing something different, and they're so exciting. So that's going to be a massive test for the Bills, and I will be looking forward to that game because that's going to be a statement type of game for the Bills, right? I mean, if they think they're a championship contender and they've got that team in their building, even though there might only be, you know, either zero fans or 7,000, still, you've got them here for a night game on national TV. Let's see what you're made of. So that's a big, big game. But I got to say, too, or you know, my absolute lifelong hatred of all things Boston sports. So for them to have the Patriots without Brady, I'm kind of looking forward to that and hoping that they can take two from that team this year.
Yeah, it's the first time I said this to Howard earlier. It's the first time I'm really upset we have to wait so long to see the Patriots.
Yeah, really, right? I mean, it is. It's November 1st, I think. Week 8 is when they play them.
Yeah.
So, and that is unfortunate because, you know, you were hoping to get maybe Cam Newton early in the season, although, you know, he plays so great last week in Seattle. It looks like he has figured out that offense already. But, yeah, you were kind of hoping to get them early and before they get things together because they always do seem to get things together. But, hey, again, another statement for the Bills. Well, let's go beat the team that you haven't been able to beat for 20 years and take the division by beating them. Big, big statement games for the Bills.
Sal, get in a plug for your book about Buffalo sports memories.
Yes, when Buffalo stood atop the sports world, it actually was a thing for about 6 days in the 1970s, Howard. Yeah, it's a book about the mid-70s. You've got it. So I saw your tweet that you're enjoying it. It's about the Bills, Braves, and Sabres when they were all good. They each had a superstar, and life was great in Buffalo back then. They didn't win championships, but it's kind of a review of the 3 years between 73 and 76, 3 years for each team. And, yeah, for me, I'm a historian, Buffalo sports history especially, and it was just a lot of fun. And it's actually everyone that's bought the book has hollered back at me in some way that they really loved it, and it brought back a ton of memories. And I'm also hoping that, you know, some of the younger people would get the book too and, you know, learn a little bit about what it was like here back in the mid-70s, because it was a lot of fun. Growing up, you grew up in New York, so yep. It was a little different for you. But me growing up in Western New York, I mean, that was just a fun, fun time. The golden era of Bills football we know is the Super Bowl era, but really that mid-70s might have been the golden era for Buffalo sports because they were just such fun teams.
I when I got the book, I fast-forwarded. I went right to the Braves chapters first. I mean, I wasn't here for the 70s, but I've heard enough stories about the Bills and the Sabres over the years. I'd have a decent feel for it. But I was curious to read more about the day-to-day operations, what life was like with the Braves, and I found that really fascinating. Anyway, Amazon.com, right? I assume where people can go?
Yep, that's where it's available. It's not in the bookstores. It's just an Amazon buy, so you can get it in the paperback or the ebook, whatever suits your fancy.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Sal. Good luck with the book sales and enjoy the rest of the football season.
All right, guys. Call whenever you want.
Thanks, Sal.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.